As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning. It is 7:30 on Wall Street. I'm Michael McKee, along with David Gura today, sitting in for Tom Keene. We are waiting on earnings from ExxonMobil and Chevron. No surprise that they are likely to have seen their earnings shrink. Phillips 66 did, posting a 61% drop in first quarter earnings. Profit margins for refining and chemicals production shrinking. Net income $385 million, 72 cents a share, down from $987 million, $1.79 a year earlier. M&A News, Rovi, which provides on-screen guides for pay TV listings, agreeing to buy that digital video recording pioneer TiVo. The deal valued at $1.1 billion, Rovi going to pay $10.70 per share in cash and stock. And RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland, a deeper first quarter loss, repaying the UK government for support during the financial crisis, also says it's going to take longer than expected to resume dividends. The net loss, £768 million, or $1.4 billion, just about double the loss a year earlier. Now let's check in with Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines. Michael?
Mike, thank you very much. Fighting continues in the Syrian city of Aleppo. Witnesses say government airstrikes destroyed a hospital in the insurgent-held side of the city. At least 27 people were killed in that incident, including children and hospital staffers. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says he is outraged. North Korea has sentenced another American to hard labor in prison. Kim Dong-chul was sentenced today to 10 years for spying. Officials say a suspicious white powdery substance sent to a Donald Trump campaign office in New York is harmless. Police say the envelope was opened by a staffer at Manhattan's Trump Tower. Vice President Joe Biden will push to accelerate international cancer research during a speech to a conference on regenerative medicine in Rome. While in Vatican City, Biden is scheduled to see Pope Francis, who will also speak at the conference. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, David.
Thank you, Michael. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stasha.
All right, Mike, there's a reason why Ohio State won a national championship for the 2014 season. It was heavily favored to win again. Five Buckeyes taken last night, first round of the NFL draft, and two of them are headed to New York. The Giants with the 10th pick took a cornerback, Eli Apple, coming to the Big Apple. He's only 20 years old. He's from Voorhees, New Jersey. Giants, if nothing else, lead the NFL in players named Eli. The Jets with the 20th pick took Ohio State linebacker Darren Lee, whose stock went up with an impressive workout at the scouting combine. Seventh year in a row, the Jets have gone defense in the first round. As expected, quarterbacks went 1-2. Both the Rams and Eagles had made trades to move up. Cal's Jared Goff to Los Angeles. Carson Wentz to North Dakota State to Philadelphia. Another QB, Paxton Lynch of Memphis, taken by Denver. Atlanta Hawks moving on. The NBA playoffs, they put six in double figures. They won 104-92 at Boston. They win the series in six games. Atlanta will now play Cleveland. Overtime to start the Stanley Cup Series in Washington. T.J. Oshie finished the hat trick, scoring in OT. The Caps top Pittsburgh 4-3. D. Gordon of the Miami Marlins, who led the National League in hitting last season, suspended 80 games for using PEDs. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
Thank you, John. We're seeing U.S. futures deteriorate even more now. S&P futures down by 4 points, 0.2%. Dow futures down 21, 0.1%. And NASDAQ E-mini futures off 16 points right now. They are down 0.4%. This is Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Michael McKee, along with David Gura, sitting in for Tom Keene here on Bloomberg Surveillance. We are watching the markets try to figure out how they could go higher on Friday and failing to do it. But we do have a little bit of news from Valiant. You remember they promised to file their paperwork as required by the SEC by the end of the month. They have done so, filing their annual 10K form, or filing their 10K form, I should say, and they now say they are in full compliance with credit agreements that required them to do that. So Valiant, I guess, suggesting they are not going to be breaking any covenants and causing any technical defaults. Time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. New Jersey Institute of Technology investing more than $110 million a year in the applied research to solve problems and improve life. Learn more at storiesofinnovation.njit.edu. Here's David Gura.
Fiat Chrysler is said to be nearing a technology deal with Google. According to people familiar with the matter, the division of Alphabet is in late-stage discussions to form a technology partnership with Fiat. Google's been talking to several car makers about working together to deploy its driverless technology in vehicles made by an established manufacturer. According to the People, Fiat CEO Sergio Marchionne has been directly involved in the talks. In a conference call Tuesday, he said he hopes to announce an arrangement with a technology company this year. PayPal says the Federal Trade Commission is investigating the company's Venmo free peer-to-peer payment service in connection with potential unfair trade practices. The company says the probe focuses on whether the electronic payments company engaged in unfair or deceptive trade practices. PayPal says it's cooperating with the FTC, but declined to give further details about the probe. And that is this morning's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Mike?
Thank you very much, David. Well, joining us now is David Winters. He's the CEO of Wintergreen Advisors, and he's got weekend plans. I wasn't invited to Warren Buffett's annual do.
Just a small admissions fee.
David, I guess, will be going out to Omaha for the annual meeting of Berkshire Hathaway, which is one of the bigger celebrations of capitalism in the country each year, although it has been attracting more and more activist investors who are less interested in celebrating than making some waves. And, David, I don't know if you would you classify yourself as an activist investor? You do have some waves you'd like to make.
Well, you know, Michael and Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, in general, Wintergreen is a long-term investor. I think this is the 26th year in a row we've attended the Berkshire Hathaway meeting. And, you know, we view active management and, you know, taking our fiduciary duty for our clients very seriously. And it was, I think, about 2 years ago, we read the Coca-Cola proxy, and we realized there was an egregious compensation plan. And we objected, and ultimately were able to get that plan rolled back. And on our calculations, it's been a massive savings to all shareholders of Coke. So, you know, we're reluctant activists. We're ones who do it because we find we have to. We would prefer to make just long-term quiet investments.
What is this meeting like for an activist investor? We read this year that the event is going to be live streamed by Yahoo Finance for the first time. You're going to be able to watch it online. You don't have to be there in the arena in Omaha. How much of a say do you have? How much excitement is there? How much nitty gritty is there actually at this kind of meeting?
Well, you know, the meeting has for many years been a lot of fun for many people and an opportunity to learn and see friends. And over time, it's become almost 40,000 people, give or take. And so it's changed. But it's really an opportunity to, it's an opportunity for people really to learn from Warren Buffett and try to have a lot of fun.
Do you really learn a whole lot from him? I mean, I wonder if it's become a little bit like Davos and jumping the shark and becoming more about being there than actually the reason you would be there.
I was being very polite. You are accurate, sir. This is in fact the learning component. I mean, I think in the early years was very high, and this has become more of a sort of a social event, and it doesn't have the same quality. It's kind of a jamboree at this point, as opposed to and it's more scripted, and there are teleprompters, and the questions are vetted, even though I think they say they're not. We've experienced that. You know, the Coca-Cola question 2 years ago was the first question, and we didn't ask it. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting event. But I think the sort of sizzle has begun to go out of the steak.
Got about 45 seconds left here. Talk a bit about this company, where it's at now. I know it's focusing more on manufacturing. How has it changed since you first invested in it?
Well, you know, Berkshire Hathaway was a relatively small, obscure company that's become enormous, this huge conglomerate, for many very difficult to kind of figure out what's going on. It's disparate. It's got some qualities of a large black box because there's, you know, so many moving pieces. You know, it's a conglomerate with anything from a railroad to, you know, a paint company. So it's almost a collection at this point, as opposed to, you know, a conventional business. And then the fact that it's controlled and is going to end up in a foundation, and you've got the fellow running, it's 85 years old, and it's no one knows who's going to run it next. You know, it creates uncertainty. And so, you know, it's a cash-rich company, but it's hard for people to really get their heads around.
Well, let's continue our discussion with David Winters from Wintergreen Advisors when we come back here. Berkshire Hathaway shares closing yesterday, $219,120 a share. So a steep admissions price.
Coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance, we await those earnings from Chevron and Exxon as we see the price of oil here up about 0.75% at $46.39. That's WTI. Let's see what we're going to hear from those earnings there. We heard just from Phillips 66. More Bloomberg Surveillance in a
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash being brought to you by WeatherTech, car mats, and floor liners. Well, the euro area inflation rate fell to minus 0.2% in April, worse than expected. On the good side, the economy expanded 0.6% the first quarter. Unemployment also declined in March to the lowest since 2011. The U.S. dollar headed for its lowest close in almost a year. Signs of slowing growth in the U.S. have dimmed prospects for a Federal Reserve interest rate increase. And stock index futures, a little changed at this point. Amazon.com surging in the pre-market after posting better than estimated results. Gilead Sciences, that's lower after first quarter profit missed estimates. Lower than expected sales of its hepatitis C treatments. Investors will be looking to data on personal income and spending as well as consumer sentiment today. And as we check futures right now, relatively flat to unchanged. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Mike and David.
All right, thank you very much for that, John Tucker. Valiant, we mentioned a minute ago. Filing its 10K, also now getting subpoenas, they say, from the states of North Carolina and from Los Angeles, from the SEC office in Los Angeles. So the trouble's not done there, David.
No, as the new CEO takes over here on Monday of next week.
Something to watch throughout the day if you're looking for a stock that may be of interest. People watching Berkshire Hathaway stock as Warren Buffett gets ready for his big soiree out in Omaha this weekend. Attending the meeting will be David Winters. He's the CEO of Wintergreen Advisors. I want to follow up on David's question just before the break about Berkshire Hathaway and what you learned from Warren Buffett. And I wonder if Warren Buffett still has, I mean, obviously people will be there, but still has the cachet that he had now that he's become so ubiquitous. I mean, he's on TV a lot. He's talking a lot. At one point, he was the Oracle of Omaha, and nobody would really hear from him except for a couple times a year. We all waited on his letters, but now his letters come out and people kind of have an idea that they know what he's talking about.
Well, you know, again, you guys are right on. there's sort of a there was an exclusivity to all this years ago when there were a very small group of people who would come, and you know, you had to go right away or get sent the annual. And you know, there's a celebrity factor here, which has sort of changed the dynamic, and a lot of what's, you know, been disclosed is already out there. So I think the tone of the meeting has changed, and it's not from our perspective, it's interesting, and it's interesting from a social perspective, but it's not as profound as it once was.
Let me ask you about I don't have to beat around the bush here. He's getting older. He's 85, I believe. You've got Charlie Munger, who's 92. I imagine that the conversation, at least on the periphery at the meeting, is going to be about succession and what happens to this company going forward. Do we have a better sense of that plan yet? Is it something that's being talked about in the open?
You know, it's been talked about for years, and, the secret is in the envelope. And, maybe something will be revealed on Saturday. But to date, it's kind of a trust me situation. And it does, I think, create uncertainty, Mike and David, because, people don't have that, confidence that they might have in somebody who was, younger. And so the succession issue, and also the other thing that's really happened is that value investing has gone out of style. And, indexation, as you well know, has become this dominant force. And even Buffett came out, a couple years ago as a proponent. So, there are relatively few kind of value investors who, are dyed in the wool, who still believe. And that's changed the dynamic here, too.
Let's leave Warren Buffett aside and make you the oracle for the moment. What's your view of the markets these days? I don't want to make too much of today's down day because we're not down all that much in the futures markets or even in Europe, but there does seem to be sort of it's not an exhaustion, a tiredness to the rally that we have seen.
Well, I think you're right on. From our perspective, we've had 10 securities. We call them the terrible 10. And, you know their names. And, today Amazon's doing well, but it's Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, et cetera. Full disclosure, we own some Google. But these are the stocks that have driven the market for the last number of years and driven the returns of the index funds. And we think that's rolling over. And it's a very, very significant event because almost everybody's at the party. And we truly believe that it's being on the other side, being on the, buying fundamental value, wherever it is, will be the next big leg up for investors. So we think this is the beginning of a huge secular shift and opportunity.
Fundamental value, wherever it is. Where are you anticipating that'll be?
Well, it's all over the world. I mean, one example that we like is Altria, and they reported yesterday, and, they had very strong numbers. They'll probably raise their dividend, yields 3.6%, trades at 62, easily is worth 90, We can argue about it, but, and so you've got deep value there. You've got a good business, good management, and it's relatively unloved, So in Europe, there are things to do. We love Nestle. People are going to eat chocolate bars. They're in the pet food business. People like their pets better than their relatives. And so there's a lot of neglected securities that were not in the terrible 10. So for the few of us who aren't hugging the index, like most, we think there's a lot to be excited about.
But is there a cause, a trigger for this big change you see?
Well, I think the trigger points are moldable. That in every sort of big technology boom in the past, at some point the companies begin to run out of steam. And we see that with what's happened in the last number of weeks, and Apple, which was the only company to own. And then you also see the situation in the oil markets where you have liquidation of U.S. assets of the oil-rich countries. So a lot of the favorite stocks are in net redemption mode.
How about, you mentioned Alger, but I wanted to ask about healthcare. We had this big deal yesterday with Abbott.
Yeah.
And I wonder how you're feeling about the healthcare sector.
Well, healthcare is, necessary. It's just, it's very much regulated by the government. And then you see, like you gentlemen referring to, Valiant, where all these people seek, huge growth, and oftentimes the growth doesn't come through. So, we like businesses that, you have less government, potential government pricing interference. And so healthcare, I think, is harder to guess and harder to analyze. So we look for the easier things to do, you know?
What's easier these days? It's never an easy thing to do to keep up with the markets, but is there something that's define easier when you say easier things to do, and then tell me what you're looking at.
Well, there's certain things that we know are certain, and you know, and this would be repeat human behavior, and we know that it goes on, and people fall in love every day. They want to look good. So one of our favorite companies, even though it's, you know, the price is very low these days, is listed in Switzerland, and it's called Richemont. And, you know, they control or own Cartier and a whole series of watch brands. And if you do the analysis, the fundamental analysis, you're paying very little today for one of the most phenomenal groups of brands in the world. And they're honest, and they have $8 billion in cash. And, you know, every day people are going to want to buy their loved one something. And so we love these sort of predictable, understandable. And if you have the patience, we think that there's tremendous upside in, you know, kind of real value, not indexed value.
And what is patience? How long is that?
Well, you know, I've read both of your resumes, and I know, you know, that you know you're both very distinguished, and that you've worked very hard to build your careers, and it didn't happen instantly. So, you know, I think people have to have at least a five-year view, and they have to really understand what they own, not this idea I'm going to buy an index fund and understand the risk of owning the terrible 10. It's thinking, you know, and it's a bit, you know, it's a message that Warren Buffett, I think, maybe his central message is, you know, think like you own a piece of a business. And I think that's sort of his one principle that will endure for many years.
David Winters, thanks for joining us. Have a great time out in Omaha. David Gurnett saying it's basically a weekend of lots of meat, no vegetables.
That's the Omaha way. There's also a 5K, a Warren Buffett 5K, and a newspaper toss. Competition. He will participate. So.
And David Winters, great investment advice. Buy and hold David Gura and Michael McKee for at least 5 years. We'd like to stick around for that long. We are definitely going to stick around for the next few minutes and come back, and we'll take a look at what's going on in the oil markets. We have oil industry earnings due out any minute. Exxon supposed to report following a little bit less than stellar numbers from Phillips 66. This is Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg Radio.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.